You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. The unofficial fifth line of the Leafs.
That's the block! Two blocks! Two blocks made by Marner! What a play! Holy mackerel! The Leafs little guy is a hero right there! Rob Marner blocks two shots at the end to preserve a 3-2 victory!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
We are live from Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 4 tonight. Maple Leafs taking on the Bruins, and we're back downtown. It's way warmer this afternoon.
It is.
I have completely overcompensated.
What do you got? A layer? You're a layer man?
Yeah, I have 5 layers. Yeah. I've got my boots out, which I put away like a month ago. I have wool socks on, and I am starting to melt. But I can't complain because we spent 3 hours on Monday complaining about being too cold.
No. So. You're going to be fine. You know why? Because I've already felt in the last 40 minutes, I got down here around 10 after 3, it was boiling. Beautiful. Sun beaming in here. Hour later, it's freezing.
I feel good, though.
It's starting to come in.
I feel good.
You're doubled up on the torts. Is that a tribute to torts?
Actually, I was thinking about that.
It actually looks good.
I have the Tortorella look going.
Multiple buttons done up on the jacket, which is a rare thing.
Well,
if I'm torts, I have the sweater tied around my head today.
Oh, my God. You got the third one done up.
Yeah, he's layered up.
Don't ever let Nabil see that.
Why?
He can't take it.
What's his problem anyway?
Why, who cares? He's gone.
Fashion guru?
He doesn't work here anymore.
No.
So.
Yeah, we don't know him anymore.
Although, you see, Nick Stauskas is back doing work for TSN. I saw him with Cabby last
night. I love Cabby, but not the same. Nabauskas.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
They should have let Nabil do that one last time.
Well, I mean, he went to ESPN. It's not like we're all affiliated.
Yeah, he didn't go to war or anything. He's gone to ESPN. Good for him. But we are going to miss him.
We will miss him, but it was cool to see Nick, you know, last night. And it was a lot easier, I'm sure, for everyone if you're kind of putting a Raptors slant on things.
I think Nicky, though, let's get back to Nicky. Last year doing this. You don't want to be known as the guy always gets to come home.
There's only so much he can do. He started the year in Portland. He should have been playing last night.
He was traded 9 times and ended up in Cleveland.
Yeah, he ends up in Cleveland. And if you end up in Cleveland without LeBron, you're not playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And guess what? Cleveland won't be playing in the playoffs next year. So if he is back in Cleveland, we all love Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, he's a friend of the show, plus we love the guy.
He's a friend of the show.
And he's a good player, too.
He's a very good player. He's a colleague. You know, he's a local guy. He grew up in Mississauga. But it's not on him to drag his team to the playoffs.
No, not at all.
There's only so much he can do. In fact, he started in Portland. He got traded to Houston, so he would have been playing. They traded him to Indiana. He would have been playing. And then he ends up in Cleveland.
But there was a waiver situation where...
Yeah, he got bought out at one point. I may have mixed up.
I think there was
the
a couple of scenarios. I thought he went from Cleveland to somewhere and then back to Cleveland. Okay.
Either way,
you know what? He's an NBA player. He's not in the playoffs. We're lucky to have him. And it's not the same without Nabil, you know, being his buddy.
Right.
Like his sidekick.
Cabby will get in there.
Oh, Cabby will
be
fine.
I'm not too worried about Cab. Cab will take care of it. Speaking of jackets, Cabby will not wear a jacket on TV. Like, that's his thing. Last night, they were up in the rafters.
The dress shirt and the tie, that's what it is?
That's his look.
Well, if there's always that little one thing and they can do nothing about it, my thing is I don't want to wear a tie. So what are they going
to
do?
Well, I'm not trying to start some, Oh,
I know, but if he doesn't have to wear it, if I just went on the panel and said, Cabby doesn't wear a jacket, why am I wearing it?
Well, I don't know. I brought it up, okay?
Cabby wears a jacket.
Next year, no tie. I refuse to wear a tie.
Maybe Cabby wears
a
jacket
coat.
From time
He's
to time.
He's got a TSN no, coat.
He never does.
Cabby has a TSN coat. He wears it all the time.
He does if he has
proud
to.
Proud of it.
But did you guys see Kyle Lowry interviewed by Kate Burness after the game? He was pretty salty with Kate.
Hero mode?
Well, you know, Kate did a great job, and Kate just, you know, pointed out the obvious. Listen, after game one,
Do we have the audio?
I believe we do have the audio. Do you want to hear the audio?
Great idea.
All right, let's hear the post game with Kyle Lowry and Kate Burness.
Kyle, you faced so much criticism after game number one, even though we know not your entire game is always shown on the stat sheet. A monster game today, though. 22 points. How did that one feel?
It's a good win. We lost home court. Focus on the next one now.
So many impressive things happened with this team today. Kawhi's performance was out of this world. Defensively, this team was so impressive. 17 turnovers for the Magic. You held them to 37%. What was the most important part of the game, in your opinion?
Playing with effort, playing hard, communicating, and helping each other.
And then finally, off to Orlando now. You know it's going to be a hostile crowd. You know this team isn't going to roll over. What do you expect, and how do you carry the momentum?
Just keep playing hard and stay disciplined.
Right, thank you, Kyle. Congrats on the win.
Thank you.
He wasn't playing around last night. He was like, remember when DeMar was here? After a win like that, if Kyle was doing an interview, DeMar would have come up behind him and did
buddy,
the goofy
buddy-buddy
stuff.
See, you know what, though? I don't blame the guy. You know why? Because he could have gone home after that first game where he stunk the joint out, and he probably sat there and watched everybody. This guy stunk the joint out. That guy stunk the joint out. So if everybody wants to be all lovey-dovey after he plays good, he can just go up to them. And I'm not saying Kate was one of those people.
Well, Kate wasn't being lovey-dovey.
But
Kate
probably thinks to himself, why do I have to be all happy around these people? Because if I have a subpar performance, they're just going to torch me. They're not your friend. They're not your enemy. End of story. He doesn't have to be Mr. Nice Guy.
Here's the thing, though. He makes a lot of money, and he's a leader in the team. And if he's not playing well, I think he deserves to be called out. Like, it's. I don't think anybody reported that he was a bad person.
Jamie, I agree. He has to be called out, but he doesn't have to like it.
You're right.
You know, you're right.
But there is a layer of it comes. The good comes with the bad. You know, you're dancing around and feeling good when you win. When you lose, well, not available for comment. Or, you know, that's what people were choked about with Durant. He's fine when they're rinsing teams and it's no problem and the music's blaring and stuff. When you lose, this is what I like about leaders and good leaders. The consistent effort, regardless of what happens, go out. Sidney Crosby, I mean, yes, he had to speak last night, but he didn't point to, you know, injuries. And he goes, I got to be better.
Yeah.
That's a leader.
Yeah.
That's somebody that owns it, said, I need to be better. He didn't go around the room and said, you know what, Phil did nothing. We couldn't get a save from our goaltender. Our coach got out coach, or however you want to phrase. Like, I get it, I don't think Kyle has to be kiss-ass to anybody. But I think the way that Kate phrased the question, she gave him respect. Like, a lot of the things that you do don't show up on the score sheet. So we're letting you know, like, hey, you know what? You play better than the zero that everyone was talking about. But he was salty. You're right.
Yeah, he wasn't in the mood, which is fine. He doesn't have
to
be.
Brian,
but
since DeMar left, he's been salty the whole year. How many times have you seen him when DeMar was here? They'd be doing stupid games and spoofing on each other while the other one like was getting interviewed. How many times have you seen that? He's been salty since day one of training camp, or ever since he's come back to Toronto.
You're right.
Well, and he redeemed himself last night. You know, he went 8-for-13 from the field. He had 22 points. He performed really well. You know, and that was to be expected. You know, he didn't perform well in game one.
Yeah.
I don't care how you try to spin it. You know, it was not acceptable for him to play the way he did in game one. And it doesn't matter what we say, what people write, what people tweet, what Kate Burness might ask you. Kyle Lowry was the first guy to walk off the court on Saturday after game one, knowing he can't perform like that. The athlete knows before anybody else when they don't play well enough.
You tied him with your fadeaway jump three, whatever you do at the gym, you had as many points that he did after game one.
Although I hit my fadeaway.
What is your go-to?
I don't believe you.
What do you mean?
Like your shot. I mean, do you have a shot? Or
did you see Damian Lillard hit that three-pointer right before the end of the first half last night?
I did not. No. I was doing other things.
Go and find that and
that's
just
what
put
you
my
are?
Face on.
Can you
on
actually
Dame.
Make a three?
What do you mean, can I make a three?
Because I can't. I can't even get –
can.
My shoulders are all jacked up, and I can't make a three.
So physically, you can't get the ball to the hoop.
Physically, I don't have enough oomph in my hops to get it there.
So you're Ted Cruz.
I have to, like
– You're Lion Ted on the court.
Ted. Why? What's Lion Ted on the court?
Have you seen Lion Ted
no.
try to perform?
It's not good.
Basketball?
Yeah,
that's
he played Jimmy Kimmel. Remember Lion Ted played Jimmy Kimmel? And he actually beat Jimmy Kimmel, which is embarrassing for Kimmel.
Wow, Kimmel's not an athlete, though.
I know, but he had the man show and everything. He thinks he's a guy's guy. You lose to Lion Ted, you're a mess.
It's not good. Yeah, but who was it? LeVar Ball. Remember how many threes he tried chucking up? It was
LeVar can't play. Like, LeVar Ball, like, he can't play.
I know, but remember
he
kept, like, doubling down. Just bring it back to me. Bring it back to me. And it was, like, 7 or 8 bricks that he was throwing up. Like, that's the epitome. That's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Like, I know. If you gave me the ball, I have no arc on my shot. Like, I couldn't make it.
You just throw
That's
a rope.
Lack of talent when it comes to basketball. Absolutely.
Right.
I wouldn't even try it, or I would lay it out for you and say, I'm not going to hit this because I don't have that.
You go out, you get your six fouls, and you leave the game.
Absolutely.
That's what you do.
I'd rather sucker somebody three in the key.
Elbows up, and you're out of the game. There's nothing wrong with that. Every team needs a guy like that. And I guess you would play the same role. Or can you dribble or something?
I can dribble. I was good in grade school.
Well, it doesn't really matter. Why are we talking about our own personal abilities on the court?
I don't know.
How did this spin out of control?
How it spun back is I said that Kyle Lowry, after Saturday's game, was tied with you
right.
at the gym. And so he was salty yesterday. He played outstanding.
He did. He played really well.
That's what we expected out of the Raps in game one, too.
Yeah.
They went out and rinsed him.
And Kawhi Leonard, he went off last night and... The record all time for individual points in a game is Vince Carter. You know, he had 50 plus back in the early 2000s, but Kawhi had 37 last night. What's interesting about his scenario? He only played 33 minutes again, but he didn't have to play in the
right.
fourth quarter because they were up by 30 plus.
But that's where you're fine with that.
Yes, absolutely.
That is managing a player when you know that you're coasting to the finish line and you've won the game. Handedly.
It was over. You don't have to play
him. It was over in the second quarter.
Game one was not over. There was no excuse
That's
for him not playing.
Yeah.
But him going off for 37, he had a great game one, great game two. You know, I think back-to-back performances for him. First two playoff games he's ever had in a Raptors uniform, and I'll bet you that was one of the top three or four back-to-back playoff performances in franchise history. Like, I'm sure Vince had a back-to-back, you know, in
right.
the late 90s, early 2000s, maybe DeMar, maybe Lowry. But this guy, it took him two games to say, go look at the two game tapes I just supplied you with
right.
and try to match that in franchise history. Like, that's how good Kawhi is. So we'll continue to look back on game two from the Raptors last night. But game four tonight, Maple Leafs Bruins. Joe Haggerty will join us around the table in about 15 minutes from NBC Sports.
He's a spicy meatball, too. He's got some hot takes.
He does.
He's a super fan of the Bruins.
Yeah, but he's not shy to, in his opinion, call out players.
I'm going to put
team.
A quarter in him as soon as he sits down. I want the first question.
All right, fair enough.
Because he claims that the DeBrusque neon knee was totally non-intentional. I've got pictures where the leg's out.
I got to be honest, though. I thought it was...
He tried to sell it, sure, but he stuck his leg out.
I thought Nazem bailed on the hit, and that's why the knees collided. Like, because they were going to hit... Shoulder on shoulder, our head.
Who cares? We'll put a quarter in him anyway.
Yeah, we'll get Joe Haggerty going.
I didn't like the hit because I don't want to see anybody hurt, and that ultimately caused Nas to lose his mind, and that's why he's not playing again tonight. But I don't think it was like the worst hit in the world.
No, not
I didn't
close.
Like the DeBrusque elbow. That was the one.
That was even greasier.
Greasy. Here, take this back to the bench with you.
Right.
But listen, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. And this is playoff hockey. Ask, you know what? These teams that went home last night, the one thing that the Islanders and Columbus did very well was initiate, not retaliate. When you've got Steven Stamkos, Kucherov, and Braden Point off their game on that side, Crosby, Malkin, Phil trying to drop the gloves, you're like, what the hell is going on here? It's because they're in their kitchen because you're initiating, you're not retaliating. That's what the Bruins did that Saturday night. Didn't have to do that Monday night because the Leafs played their game.
Right.
So play their game tonight. Don't worry about that nonsense.
Well, I think if history has taught us anything, the Bruins are going to show up and show up early tonight.
Sure.
But they're not going to have the luxury of a home crowd behind them. Like, I think Saturday in game two, it kept snowballing and snowballing and getting out of control. And they came out like chickens with their heads cut off, and they were hitting everything in sight, and they were causing turnovers, and they were playing with pace, and it led to the Maple Leafs just unraveling. But I don't think it helped that crowd was going crazy in favor of the Bruins.
Yep.
Every hit was, you know, people were getting up off their feet. The anthem, it started with the anthem, really, on Saturday in Boston. They're not going to have that behind them tonight.
No.
You know, the Leafs are going to have home ice advantage tonight. And I was a little bit surprised by this just based on, again, the history of the two teams and where I think this series is going. I still think it's going six or seven. Vegas has the Maple Leafs as a slight favorite tonight. They're slightly favored in Vegas, which, you know, that's the books. It doesn't have to mean anything. But that probably should be the case. If you have home ice in the playoffs and you've played better than your opposition two of the three games, why would you expect that to change tonight?
And you're up. Like, you're winning 2-1. You're not chasing the series at
right.
2-1. And it's recency bias. They played outstanding last game. They got the win. Like, I don't see that as an outlier.
And they got to try to bottle up whatever they're doing in those two games. You've seen what happened with Columbus and Tampa. After the first period, Columbus found something and they never looked back.
Here's the
Vegas has got something on San Jose where that series is basically over.
Yeah, you're right.
The Islanders, they found something in the first game, and they're running with it four straight. So whatever they found in two of the three games, try to bottle it up and run with it, because you don't want to let Boston find something where they can take over the series.
And players can learn in a series, learn where the pressure points are. I remember in St. Louis, we were playing Detroit, and the pressure point was Larionov. So it wasn't Fedorov and Lidstrom and all those superstars. I mean, Larionov was a superstar, but he was 40 at the time. But he was their quiet leader. And we started picking away at him. We ended up getting a couple games off of them. They won. They were a better team. But you find pressure points where you're like, nah, I can see if that can unravel that one for a little bit.
Well, what's interesting about that is the guy who I would think I would be picking away at is Brad Marchand.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything.
He hasn't done anything, and he hasn't done anything stupid or unsportsmanlike.
That's what I meant, yeah.
And I don't know if I want...
It's scary if they go together.
But I don't want to needle him into the series.
Yeah.
I would rather just go be quiet and end your shift and go to the bench. Like,
yeah.
he hasn't been licking other human beings.
Yeah.
He hasn't been causing, you know, scrums after the whistle. Like, you watch him throughout his career. You know, we've all seen it. We've all seen it live.
Yep.
This guy, he hears a whistle, and he chases somebody down. Like, that's what he's always done throughout his career. He hears a whistle, and he goes, who am I going to go punch in the back of the head?
But who am I going to draw into something?
Who am I going to draw into something?
Because he knows how to play.
But he hasn't done that.
You're right. He's worried about his own game. And what happens when your game isn't at the top, he's been smart enough to not let it unravel. Like, he's had a couple plays where he's made a little curl and drag play and thrown it seam, and it gets picked off. Like, he's all around it, but he hasn't been as dominant as we've seen, the 100-point player. But I think he's been smart enough to realize, hey, I'm not going tonight on the scoreboard. I shouldn't run somebody from behind and put myself even farther down.
But that's going to the extreme. I'm not
right.
Obviously, he should not be doing that. I'm saying, I would wonder if I'm Bruce Cassidy, if I want to pull him aside and say, listen, if it's not going in for you, next time you're on with Austin Matthews, go give him the Henrik Sedin.
That's
treatment.
Fair.
Go, you know, next time you see Mitch Marner, just give him a little hack. I'm surprised it hasn't happened. Like, I really am. I'm surprised he has not shown up in terms of a post-game storyline, really in any facet. Now, he's got 3 points in three games. He scored a couple of goals.
Yeah.
It's not like Marchand has been awful.
No.
But when you come into a series like this, that's the guy you circle. You're like, he's going to be right in the middle of everything. And I haven't noticed that whatsoever.
But that's when you look at the stats and what you see, sometimes they don't match up. Statistically, yeah, 3 points in three games, you know, point a game, a couple goals. But when you're looking at his impact, he hasn't had it. Not
no.
The way that we've expected to him to. You know, World Cup, scores the big goal. Like, this guy's always in the middle of big moments. And he hasn't been so far.
No, he hasn't. We're live in Maple Leaf Square. If you're lucky enough to be in the building tonight, obviously we're all looking forward to that. But if you're downtown and you're looking for a place to hang out, don't forget to head over to Amsterdam Brewhouse on the Queens Quay, TSN 1050's playoff headquarters. The music, we got through 18 minutes.
Yeah.
And now the music is starting to hop. It was just a matter of time.
Why not, though? There's a bunch of people in here. Play the music for them.
Yeah.
No one's here.
No one's allowed in until 5 o'clock. But I guess the DJ's got to warm up. The staff. They've got to warm up the staff.
Yeah, the staff's getting fired up.
Right. Joe Haggerty will join us, Bruins insider. We're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 4 tonight with the Maple Leafs and the Bruins. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, we are live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of the game tonight, Game 4, Maple Leafs Bruins. Puck drop at 7. We're excited for the game tonight. The Leafs are up 2-1. As we mentioned, down in Vegas, the Leafs are a slight favorite going into the game tonight. And to chat about the Bruins side of things, we're joined now by our good buddy Joe Haggerty from NBC Sports in Boston. How you doing, Joe?
What's up, boys? I thought you were going to keep the shades on there, no?
He was wearing them.
Look at the lights. You don't think you need them?
I know. I'm in TV. I get these blinding lights. When you do Fenway in the summertime when it's 95 degrees, you feel like a Kenny Rogers roasted chicken when you got those lights on you in the hot weather.
It's outrageous.
Oh, it's no good.
I'm always going to get the first question, but I got to get to the real stuff out of the gate, the heater. You're our Boston guy, our Boston correspondent, our New England correspondent.
Yes.
How many views out of New England for this Robert Kraft video when it goes public? How many people are going to watch it in Boston?
God, I hope zero. I mean, I know that's not the case. I know everybody is going to watch it, and they're going to kind of be,
is it for 100%
eyes through
it's coming
the fingers?
Out?
Yes. I think today is the news that it's coming out. They're definitely going to drop it. And I can tell you, I'm not going to friggin' watch it. I have no desire whatsoever to see that.
I'm going to watch it. I want to see what he's up to. But it's not for the sexual side. It's just the curiosity side of, like, how much do they have
on
this guy?
He's watching it, too. It's one of those things where everyone's saying, I'm not watching it.
Not watching it, but if it's, like, 22 minutes long, you can probably get the gist in 90 seconds.
Wow. I think it's probably about 2 minutes long, if I'm going to guess. I don't think it's going to be 22
minutes. At his age, if it's 22 minutes,
I'm impressed.
Yeah, this dude is a legend.
I'm talking the full scenario. Like, this guy's going to come out. Tarp off? Does he look like a bear? Is there hair everywhere? Like, who knows?
You've put a lot of thought into this. I salute you.
When I saw that, obviously trending on Twitter immediately, and we had some internal emails, I'm like,
I picture him like Burt Reynolds in that movie Striptease, where he has all the oil and he's got the cowboy boots on. That's what I
think. Guaranteed, if that's not his first time, there's a routine to his scenario.
You know what I want to see? I want to see the video of how miserable he looks when he walks in and how happy he is on the way out. That's what I want to see, the shot, the in-the-out shot.
I think it's a quick video, though. I think he had a driver. I think the car was running outside. I think it was just like McDonald's, in and out, and then back in the car.
Not his first rodeo at the Orchids of Asia for
Roasted
Bob Kraft.
Turkey on order and then out.
All right, Joe Haggerty's here. Go at him. Go ahead.
We were talking about the DeBrusk hit.
Yes.
Do you actually think that was a clean hit? Like, I could care less, but watching the hit, I saw you bickering and arguing with Toronto media.
Kenny was coming after me, the mild-mannered.
You were going after Paul Hendrick, our guy.
Henny's the most positive person in the world.
He threw the first punch. I was like, oh, my God, Henny's even coming after me. I thought it was DeBrusk was going in for a hit. Just shoulder-to-shoulder hit, and you see Kadri kind of jump out of the way at the last minute, and I think that's when it went leg-to-leg when he tried to sidestep it and tried to avoid it. DeBrusk isn't a dirty player. DeBrusk would not be throwing a hit like that. He's not like his old man where he's a fighter. He's not a guy that's an agitator. He's not a guy that throws dirty hits. I think he was just trying to play physical and throw a check, and I think Kadri was trying to get out of the way at the last minute. You see his head, Kadri's head, look up and see him at the last second and try to get out of the way. I didn't think there was bad intent, and I didn't think it was worth a suspension or anything like that. I just didn't. When a guy cross-checks a guy in the face, that's worthy of a
you're
suspension.
Damn right.
There's no arguing there.
He's paid the price. What was the reaction from the Bruins that he got the rest of the series as opposed to maybe 10, 15 games? Some people were calling for a lot of games for Kadri.
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, fans obviously want a guy drawn and quartered and, you know, sent out for the rest of his career, right? But, like, the players in the organization, I don't think they care. As long as he's not a part of the series for the rest of as long as it goes, I think that they're satisfied with that and that the league, you know, came down and gave a fairly appropriate suspension. And, you know, for Kadri, it's you know, not just that act. It's doing it for the second year in a row in the playoffs. It's doing that actual act for the second time to another player. You know, you heard what the league had to say in the video. He just needs to smarten up because he's a good player otherwise.
We obviously are Toronto focused, so when you comb through the team daily and like we do, we dissect every shift, every, you know, turnover. There's a few guys that get circled on the Toronto Maple Leafs roster, Jake Gardner, Nikita Zaitsev. You know, up front right now it's been William Nylander because of his season. Patrick Marleau would be another guy kind of on the hot seat. Who is it in Boston? I know it's Tuukka Rask. Tuukka can make 50 saves and get a shutout, and still I see the fan base will complain about him.
Mm-hmm. And he's got the other guy breathing down his neck now, too, to get in there.
Yarrow's had a great season. Yep. So Tuukka and who?
Tuukka, I would say, I mean, DeBrusk is a guy that needs to step up and provide secondary offense in this series. He scored 5 goals in that first round series last year, was the big next person to step up beyond the big three. But the biggest one in this series right now is the top line. Right now, 1 5-on-5 goal in this entire series. Marchand in game two. Really, I think Marchand in game two was the only one that's had a really good game in the entire series, and that's it. Part of it is I think they kind of felt like they were going to be able to go in and roll and dominate like they did last year.
They thought, Joe, they could just get it in and forecheck, and they're going to have their way.
Oh, yeah, and it was going to be a wide-open series, kind of like it was last year. They didn't think Toronto was going to play the kind of tight defense that they're playing, and I think they underestimated what John Tavares and his line were going to be able to do to check them, and also the effect that Jake Muzzin was going to have as a shutdown defenseman. When you look back now and you see the additions that the Maple Leafs made this year, there was probably a lot of idea of we need to bring these guys in to beat the Bruins to get past them in the divisional rounds. And they've come in and done the job. And it looks like if they brought them in for that kind of a matchup, that kind of a series, it's working out in their favor right now. Tavares has been fantastic.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. And I mean, the whole line, I think Hyman's been very effective. And Marner's obviously been great as well.
Yep.
Joe Haggerty with us from NBC Sports in Boston.
Do you guys think a year ago you would have seen Mitch Marner on his belly blocking a shot face up, the guy at the end of the third period like that? I don't think so.
There's been a lot of maturity. I'm not sure you would have been on the ice. I think last year it would have been maybe Connor Brown on the ice.
That's what it is. He's gained so much trust from the coach that the coach wants him out there in critical times because he knows Mitch is sneaky enough to read plays and pick them off and stuff. And then, to me, I think the blocks are added bonus. That's something that we didn't know he really wanted to do or had in.
I don't know what you guys do in Boston, but we can be negative in Toronto. But we could also turn 2 block shots into 3 different pages, 3 stories, 3 days in a row of being a hero.
A warrior, a defensive warrior, playoff hero.
Oh, yeah.
Hard playoff player.
They had Gregory
Campbell. And then he came out with a classic line, that's what dentists are for. Everyone was like, oh, my God.
What a tough guy.
He's a killer.
He
like
had
slap
that
shot.
He had that in his pocket all day.
Mitch is a killer. That sounds pretty good.
That's right.
He did have that one. And the minute that he knew, I mean, it was a great play and a big deal. But you're going to get asked about it.
Yeah.
It's in your mind. You're like, how am I going to come back with this one? That's bar play.
He had that one ready for him. Totally different teams for the most part, for both teams, more so for the Maple Leafs than Boston. But in 2013 and in 2018, the Bruins were up 3-1 in both series. Now they're down 2-1. How would you compare and contrast the mood of the Bruins today in this series compared to the previous two?
Yeah, I think obviously it's not overconfident like it was in the other ones, but I think it's okay. They feel like they haven't played the best, really. They played really well in game two, but they feel like in games one and games three, they certainly weren't at their best. That top line was not at its best. Certainly they feel like they can give more. And there's a confidence with them that they can go out and they're going to be determined to do it, and that if they go out and do their job and execute and get second chances and create havoc around the net and make some plays and do what they normally do and certainly get a little more assertive offensively. Marchand only had 1 shot on net in that last game. You got to shoot the puck more and look for your own shot. They've been kind of passive at points too much, too. And the lateral passing is just not working. They need to be a little harder going north or south than they've been in the first 3 games of the series. If they make those adjustments, I think they're confident they're going to score some goals and get their chances. And if they do, historically, we've seen the last couple of years, if that line gets their chances and scores, they're going to win the games. And that's what it comes down to. But if they go out, if it's another tight checking game tonight, if that line really doesn't do much tonight and they're down 3-1, that's, I think, when the panic sets in and they say, wait a minute, the Leafs have the matchups in this series and we're going to have to do something. I wouldn't be surprised if it doesn't go well early for the Bruins in this game tonight, if you see that line broken up. If they're not really generating a lot early, if they're not going in the first period, I think you're going to see Pastrnak drop down to Krejci's line. You're going to see maybe Danton Heinen or Johansson or somebody on that top line, and then they're going to try to force Babcock into deciding who he's going to put Tavares and Jake Muzzin with and hope the other line starts going off offensively.
Well, he was matching on Saturday night because he had the luxury to do that, but you don't on the road. And he did try, I thought, last game, to move Pastrnak a little bit down. There was a double shift or a shift where he slid him down on that fourth line or third line. But, in looking at it, and I know injuries are a big part of the playoffs regardless of what team you're dealing with, but it sounds like you're going to draw back in. Now, Johansson was sick.
He was sick. It must have been the world's worst illness to miss 2 playoff games.
No kidding.
I mean, we were kind of speculating that was he dinged up from that hit that he took in the first game, and they were just calling it something else, which we all know teams do from time to time, especially in the playoffs. But, you know, Cassidy's made a point of saying he got the color back in his face when he was at practice the other day and that he really is sick. Maybe, but I haven't heard of too many hockey players that are sick and miss two playoff games.
No kidding.
And so you've got Moore, you've got Johansson. Like, you know, to me, Krug didn't look right the other night. Yeah. I thought he had some turnovers where he's a low center of gravity guy. Like, pretty strong on his skate, strong on his stick. And
But the concussion protocol, we didn't talk a lot about it.
How the hell is Torrey Krug playing?
But even furthermore, how did Tuukka Rask stay in the game?
Well, here's
like
the thing.
Like, he got crushed, and he was out. He wasn't completely unconscious, but you could tell.
He was lying down in the ice.
He looked bad.
Yeah. But I thought it was more neck-related.
That's what he said.
But how do you know that, though?
But like, that's the thing. Like, we don't know. Here's the thing that I saw people making a big deal about it. Not everything, and I know not everything at the head is a concussion. But you get a shot, get a puck off the
head. Yeah, but those spotters don't know that. When they think it is, they just call it down and the player's out.
I agree.
Right.
But every player is different. I watched that. You're allowed to lay down and get your bearings, to me, if you ask me. There were times where I got run into, and you're just trying to, like, see. You're assessing. Okay, how am I? How is my equilibrium? All of that. I thought the time helped him, but I saw people going nuts on Twitter, concussion protocol and that. If you get your neck jarred, I know it's still attached to your head, and I know it can be. But
it's the inconsistency from the
correct.
League.
But do we really want every single player, every time there's a collision, taken out for 10, 15 minutes or an entire period? I think you're running into problems if you do that, too.
Especially
you know?
That position.
Yeah,
like, the goaltending position makes it so much more complicated, which I understand.
There may be some thespianic flourishes that go along with the falling to the ground.
Honestly, and that's what
right.
you know, later in the game, Frederik Andersen took a shot off the mask. I don't know if you remember that. And like, it's fine. Those masks are designed for a ricochet off, and they're made of Kevlar. That's what their job is. But, you know, where does the line cross? Like, that's what it comes back to the goaltending. Now, I saw two doctors on the bench. Right, it looked like the team doctors for the Bruins came right down to the bench and were assessing and talking to the trainer. You're right. I know it's playoffs, and you'd have to ask that question. If this was November on a Tuesday, is Tuukka coming out?
Right.
Given the history, given that, I mean, it's a fair question. It's just, it's one of those gray area things.
Oh, it's very complicated.
Because if you know, Freddie Andersen has a history of getting dinged into. If he gets bumped tonight, I would like to at least give him the benefit of the doubt, not to fight through an injury, because I don't believe in that, but to at least collect his bearings to see if he's okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And getting back to what you mentioned before about, you know, Krug and DeBrusk, and
both
of them looking kind of dinged and coming back in. I was curious to see what they were going to look like in that game because I thought it was really quick for both of them. Krug clearly getting crushed by Muzzin, and then DeBrusk looked dazed when we talked to him after that game. I was surprised they were both definitely going to practice, definitely going to play, and Krug didn't look 100% right. But he's a tough kid. He wants to play, and you just wonder if that's going to affect him over the course of the entire series.
Joe Haggerty with us from NBC Sports in Boston. We touched on Tuukka Rask a little bit. Freddie Andersen was a big story here in Toronto leading up to the playoffs because he had a very poor March, but he's played really well. I think Rask has played well. Like, I haven't had any, you know, I'm not focusing on everything that he's doing, but I can't see him being the issue.
What, like,
the only
you're goal, for positive like the things, Trevor but one's due for a stinker.
The only goal I had an issue with was the Nylander breakaway in game one, it became a 3-1 game. That's the save that he probably has to make to keep it a 2-1 game. But aside from that, he's been pretty solid.
Timing of that goal was bad for the Bruins because they were pushing. I didn't love the Trevor Moore goal, too. Respawn, he had it, and
it was
kind of popped out.
He lost it.
Outside of that, but you can point to a goal or two, but he's been rock solid. He has not been the story of why they're down in this series. Like, both goaltenders have been really good. I think Freddie Anderson's that Saturday game could have been 9-1. Freddie made three unreal glove saves on the back door.
Yeah. No, he was great.
The storyline in this series is the Leafs, through three games, have done a really good job of holding down Boston's best offensive players. Can they do it for the rest of the series and win it out? Or, are Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak finally going to break out and start scoring some goals? That's where I think this series is going to be won or lost on. That's the battleground.
Great seeing you as always, Joe. Thank you for joining us, buddy.
Where have you been hanging out in Toronto?
I've been a good boy. I've just been, you know, going to church, saying prayers.
He's lying. Just lying to us right now.
Eating a lot of salads, you know.
Where have you been drinking beers in Toronto? It's somewhere around here. I know it is.
Oh, yeah.
I might have gone to Yorktown. You know, it's
Hemingway's.
Good times over there.
There's a couple of spots downtown.
Hemingway's or
keep
something.
Keep you busy. Well, that's up in Yorkville, absolutely.
Yeah, Yorkville, yeah.
Yorkville, excuse me.
If you're up in Yorkville, yeah, you're up with the rich people up there.
Yeah, I don't fool around.
There you go. Attaboy, Joe. Good seeing you, man. Thank you for doing this, as always.
See you, boys.
There's Joe Haggerty of NBC Sports in Boston. We're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 4 tonight. Leafs-Bruins will continue to tee that up. We'll get into the shock around the hockey world last night. Tampa is out. John Cooper really didn't have much of an explanation. And the Islanders are through as well. You know, Pittsburgh's done. So we're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of the game tonight. We'll continue to tee it up and look back on the Raptors' big win in Game 2 last night as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Jerry's percentages in about 45 minutes. Ray will join us in about 20. We're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of Game 4 tonight, Leafs-Bruins. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We just had Joe Haggerty in here from NBC in Boston, and he wanted nothing to do with that Robert Kraft conversation.
Wow.
He's lying, too.
It is awkward. He's watching it. Everyone, we all are watching it. I mean, there may be a softer version where it's got, like, the...
Well, here's
the blurred
the
part.
Word of the month in the United States of America is redacted.
Oh, yeah, redacted. Okay.
From the Mueller report.
Yep.
I think we need William Barr to get his hands on this Robert Kraft video and start redacting some of the moments. We don't need the full...
You don't need the full Monty?
No, but listen, it's going to pop up because I think what's happened here is no different than Aunt Becky and that whole college admissions scam.
Yeah.
Because Felicity Huffman, she just said guilty, fine, and she's probably not going to spend any time in jail.
Why would you, though? You're going to get jail time for that? Well, I thought it was ridiculous.
Lori Loughlin's going to because you're fighting it. That's the way it works down in the States, right, with the feds. And that's exactly what's happening with Robert Kraft.
I think
they know he's got him, and he's not going to go to jail because he's got so much money. But they're like, all right, if you're not going to plead guilty and then just let this go away, then we're going to leak the video.
Yeah. We're going to show you hanging from a swing, reverse oven roasted turkey.
With a leather mask on. I get it. They did it. But like these aren't capital offenses. They're petty crime.
Well, it's not petty crime if the feds are storming into your house.
Yeah,
like that's what happened with Aunt Becky and Felicity Huffman.
Yeah,
the feds stormed into the house, guns drawn.
Yeah, which is kind of sad. There's real crime out there, and this is white collar crime if you term it that way.
Well, Aunt Becky should have known better.
Well, I don't know. I just...
Right?
I think that's just... That's I don't... She can go to... That's a stupidity. Like, you really need your kid to go to that college that bad?
Well, I don't... I can't answer that. That doesn't make any sense.
It's illegal, so they're going to get clipped, but, like, jail time for that stuff?
But if you fight them, like, I'm just telling you.
You're right. You're right.
That's my read on the situation. Is that Robert
Kraft... Take the deal, just admit this, and then see you later.
Yeah.
But I think if you fight it, you can continue to push it and push it and push it. Like you said, 2 years from now, Robert Kraft will either get off or pay a fine in that, but...
Or have sold the team.
They may have forced him into a bad situation with, hey, we've got a video. You want to be a hero? Let's go.
That's, I think, exactly what happened because it's the prosecutors who have come out and said, fine, it's going public. They know. Dude, a billionaire is not spending a second in jail for going to the Orchids of Asia. It's not going to happen. They know he's not going to jail. They know he's going to get off, but they're like, all right.
Yeah.
The video's going out. Sorry, Bob. It's going out. And now you're going to have to deal with the consequences, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, I agree.
What are you going to do? Robert Kraft, what are you going to do?
You're right. He's going to pay the pipers one way or the other. But with embarrassment, probably. I mean, this guy's been embarrassed before. There's that acting video of him and his, like, young girlfriend and stuff like...
I didn't think that was as embarrassing because...
I thought it was
terrible.
As
embarrassing as what's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
No, I didn't think it was embarrassing because he was an older guy. Like, his wife had just passed away, and he's like, I'm getting back in the game.
Right.
She was, like, half his age.
Pretty
good-looking woman, too.
She was almost a quarter of his age.
Do you think Robert Kraft is the first guy to be like...
No,
you know, send me the script. I'll act like a child if I have to. I'll act like a baby.
I will buy
the company, the movie company,
the movie company, so you can get a part in that if you and I can hang out. which is his prerogative.
Right.
You're right. Like, they were, but it was quite embarrassing. In watching it, I didn't.
Well, the guy can't act. He doesn't know how to act.
It's our Source commercial. Worse, though.
It was worse than Love It, thanks.
Yeah, it was.
It was. John Cooper postgame last night.
There's no acting there.
Tampa.
You can't act your way out of that one.
What's he going to say? Like, what do you say when you win 62 games, you're one of the all-time great regular season teams in the history of North American sports,
yeah,
and you get swept in the first round, but worse than that, you were up 3-0 in the first period of game one, and then you got smoked in game two and in game four. Like, they got really thoroughly outplayed. It wasn't Sergei Bobrovsky, you know, 50 stops, 58 stops, 43 stops, and they're
right,
like, what
right.
do you want me to do, man? That's the nature of the position and the nature of the sport. Tampa Bay got simply outplayed four straight times.
Yeah, they did.
It's shocking. I still have not accepted the reality that Columbus is through.
After, like, dummying them in the first period of game one, Torts had this miracle on ice speech, and away they went. It was a gong show ever since.
Yeah. They've been good for them.
Whoever, like Boston, Joe just said on the way out, Joe Haggerty from Boston, this is the wrong series to lose for either one of these teams. And it's not going to be a picnic next round with Columbus, but it's like the old saying, if before the playoffs started, you're getting Columbus in the second round, wouldn't you think? That's a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Yeah, as opposed to that mindset of, man, if we get by Boston, we just got Tampa sitting there after dummying Columbus,
right.
and they're going to crush us. The old theory, why not us?
Anyone saying that they would prefer to play Tampa over Columbus
is high and a liar.
Is no, a liar. Is a flat out
it's
liar.
It's ridiculous. But, you know, the one thing that the Leafs can wake up today, the Bruins can wake up today, the Islanders, they've got a 1 in 14 chance now of winning the Stanley Cup. Before, it was 1 in 16. So, two teams out, and you get through the next round, now you're 1 in 8. Like, you continue to push through. I guarantee you, every organization last night got a little bit bigger, going, hey, we got a chance here. Because I don't think in the back of everyone's mind, they're looking at 62 wins in the regular season and how they just dismantled everyone. Like, yeah, that's a tall hill to climb. That's only human nature. I do you know of anybody that did not have the Tampa Bay Lightning at least in the finals?
No. Well, maybe not in the finals. You know, you could make a case, maybe Boston, maybe Toronto get hot in the second round. Maybe. But,
yeah,
you know, or they meet Washington in the conference final.
Yeah.
And Washington gets them.
But, like,
you know, the final is a different step.
I guess it's just from a non-fandom standpoint, like, you want your team to go through. But, like, if you're looking at that and going 62 wins
well, of course.
In the history, like, you're
they were,
going,
they were
at least
obviously
they're going to be
heavily favored.
That's what I'm
heavily,
saying.
Heavily, like, heavily favored,
the brackets were busted last night. Big
fill
time.
In the blanks before we go to break. Now that there's some teams out, watch out for, I'm saying, Islanders, Vegas. Watch out.
Well, Vegas is the real deal.
Watch out for Vegas, dude.
Martin Jones is brutal. He's brutal.
San Jose's brutal in their own zone, too.
It didn't help, but he gave those first two goals, man, were brutal. Like,
but Shea Theodore, did you see that goal? 1-on-3.
Yeah, I understand that. But he still, it was a backhand, like, glove side.
They're married to each other.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You're right.
He's awful.
Defend
defensively, they're not good, but he's awful.
Fear who?
Washington.
Winnipeg.
Washington and Winnipeg are mine.
Hellebuyck has come alive.
Where your heads are at.
I got to be honest. I thought that top line by Winnipeg last night. Go watch that tape. I don't know who's stopping that. Like, that's
they are dangereux.
They are rolling.
But take a look at that game Monday night. Could you see either one of the teams that played Monday here?
Yes,
too. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
oh, Toronto's in the dance too.
There's some great teams involved, but it's not even great teams. It's the way the teams are playing. Tampa didn't raise their level. Columbus raised their level.
That's right.
These
Islanders raised their level.
Party. They're in New York. They're gearing down.
Yeah, exactly.
They are in the party.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Studio 54 with Ron Duguay in 1978.
Orchids, Florida. The party. They're gearing down.
Ray Ferraro will join us. Jerry's percentages at 5:30. We're live at Maple Leaf Square ahead of the game tonight. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.